This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views conveyed by the guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. In this episode, pet care and wellness professional Kim Gabelin offers advice for Senior Pet Month and helpful tips for celebrating the holidays safely with your pets. That's what's on our show, so let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the doggydiva.com. We love hearing from you, so go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
As a pet parent, I cherish my fur kids and love spending time with them, especially during the holidays. And I understand the importance of keeping our home holiday safe and healthy so that we can all enjoy the holidays together safely. Being a proud dog mom of three senior pups, 11, 13, and 15, and I have one youngster. I love November because though I celebrate my pups all year long, November is Senior Pet Month, and Adopt a Senior Pet Month, making this month extra special. And with us today to share valuable information and advice on the benefits of adopting and celebrating life with senior pets and healthy and fun tips on what pet parents should keep in mind for celebrating a safe and happy holiday with their beloved pets is esteemed pet wellness professional with over 20 years of pet care experience, Kim Gabelin. Welcome back, Kim.
Hi, Sue. Thanks for having me. I loved coming on and talking about how we can take care of our pets and have a better relationship with them. So thanks for having me on.
Oh, no, my pleasure, because I love this time of year, and I love it when you and I can share so many fun facts and helpful information with the listeners during the holidays to help them get ready for safe and happy holidays with their pets. But first, one of the things that is very near and dear to my heart, because I have virtually out of four, three seniors. Mm-hmm. And so I love the month of November and I love my senior pets. So Kim, can you just tell us a little bit about why we celebrate Senior Pet Month and Adopt a Senior Pet Month?
Yeah, you know, and certainly Sue, as a pet parent of older pets, it's important to recognize that our pets are maturing. And as they mature, they do need some differences, right? There are some things that kind of change. And it's important to be able to keep them healthy and happy and active as they age. So really, it's just a time to be able to bring awareness to the things we can do to give them that great life as they get older.
Yes. And there's so many things that we need to do to keep them healthy, happy, and active at this age, actually at any age.
Yes.
So when is a pet considered a senior pet?
Yeah, you know, so this is kind of hard because a lot of times they're not acting what we would consider to be senior, right? They're not usually limping around or doing anything unusual. But typically we consider dogs that are 7 years old and up as senior. Now, if you have a larger dog, say 50 pounds and more and higher, then that would typically be a little bit younger. So maybe around 5 or 6 years of age. If you have a smaller dog, or if you have cats, then I would say that's probably a little bit later, right? Maybe around 8 to 9 years of age. And, you know, it's always funny, you know, whenever we talked about senior with pet parents and the pet in my past, right? We were always talking about, when you talk about senior, people just get really concerned, right? Really upset that, oh, they're getting older. It's a bad thing. And so you have to remember that they, a lot of times they have a lot of years left. And so even though we're considering them what I would call in air quotes, a senior, they're still young and active. Those changes, they're just starting to have some changes that are happening probably on the inside, especially. And you may not see them on the outside for a little bit more time.
Yeah, they're like us.
Yes, absolutely.
In our minds, we're always 25.
Yes.
Got the bodies to go on. That's okay.
That's right.
So how does pet care need to change as our pets get a little older?
Yeah, you know, there's a few different things to think about. You know, first of all, and I think probably most importantly, is thinking about vet visits. And so regular checkups really become a little bit more important at this stage. And the reason why is because, you know, you want the vet to be able to see your pet and see if there's anything going on that maybe you can't see or things that you may not notice. Because, you know, our dogs and cats like to hide those things from us, right? They don't want to let anybody else know that they're not feeling well. That's just part of their background, right? Part of their history. So it's important to be able to, you know, see that vet a couple times a year, maybe at least once, but maybe twice a year. And, you know, they'll be checking things like your dog's dental health, arthritis, you know, blood markers. You know, blood tests can really be very helpful and can kind of let the doctor and you know kind of what's happening with your dog or your cat and seeing if there's anything that they can take care of kind of proactively. So that's really important. And, you know, if you're seeing any changes in your senior dog or cat, things like more thirst, more urination, difficulty like going up and down stairs or maybe getting in the car, changes in appetite or weight, you know, either higher or lower, bad breath, cloudy eyes, hearing loss or confusion, it's important to get that checked, right? That could be a sign of something else going on. And again, anytime you can be more proactive with it, then that can really be very helpful to help your pet, again, be healthy and be happy.
You know, Kim, that's so important. My veterinarian does this. There are some veterinarians that offer senior wellness care, like a special on the exams, because yes. Mine encourages me to actually bring mine instead of annually, once every 6 months. And it's good. I have peace of mind. I know what's going on with my dogs. So I'm very happy about it. But I think that sometimes I didn't know it existed till one day someone said to me, are you bringing her in 6 months for her senior wellness? We work with you. And I go, oh, wow. Yeah. So check with your vet, because sometimes they have these little programs that we're not even aware of.
Yes. And our veterinarian did that as well. So that was really helpful to, again, yes, be able to see kind of what's happening. And like you said, have that peace of mind and knowing that, you know, you're doing everything you can to be able to help them. So that's really important. Another thing to think about is their nutrition. So, you know, there's certainly a lot of senior diets out there. And, you know, just like us, when dogs get older, they have the tendency to lose muscle mass more quickly than they used to when they were younger. And so it's important to be able to find a senior food that's usually adjusted for protein. So typically they have a little bit more protein in them and a little less fat. And that little less fat is really important because, again, you're trying to manage that weight. Weight is really not good for things like diabetes. It's not good for things like arthritis. It can be very hard on your dog's health. So, you know, even just not just thinking about food, thinking about what you're feeding them, trying to maybe pare back a little bit if you are having an overweight dog, that, you know, keeping them at a healthy weight is going to be very important to keeping them healthy.
Absolutely. Because, you know, some of these things nutritionally, and always talk to your vet, but can help to prevent health issues down the line.
Yes, absolutely. And weight is one of those big ones that, you know, like I said, it does, you know, works with insulin, it works with your joints. So there's so many things there that I think just that one simple thing can really be a big benefit all around. And then, you know, of course, exercise. You know, now exercise, I'm not saying like, hey, why don't you get out there and run for five miles with your dog? So, you know, you might not want to do that, but certainly it doesn't mean that exercise isn't important at that age. And certainly staying active is a key part of staying healthy. And, you know, Sue, you know, we're always talking about not just physical health, but mental health.
Mental health, yep.
Yeah. So there's, you know, they kind of go hand in hand. So, you know, you have to remember that when you take your dog for a walk, it's not just a physical thing for them. A lot of times they're snipping, they're seeing, they're getting the news about the neighborhood, mm-hmm. that what's going on, you know. So that actually is not just a physical thing. It's actually a physical and a mental thing when you actually take them for a walk, especially if you go to some new places, check out some new places. You know, maybe you only go for a 10-minute walk instead of a 20-minute walk or a half an hour, hour. So, you know, again, see how your pet is doing. You don't want to overtax them. But again, just even getting out for 10 or 15 minutes is great for them. And oh, by the way, it's also great for us too. So that's really important. And I'm a huge fan when it comes to other mental things of puzzle games and snuffle mats.
Snuffle mats.
Yeah. being able to hide those treats in that felt, or being able to hide them in a puzzle game, or even just playing hide and seek around the house with some treats can be awfully fun and can give them kind of another challenge them, right? To think about how they're finding it, where it is, using their, you know, sense of smell. And so that's really kind of a fun way to be able to do something like that, to be able to kind of, again, keep them engaged and to challenge their brain.
That's so important. And sometimes we forget about that. But and you talked about, you know, the sense and the, you know, just wanting to be on top of what's going on in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. For two of our dogs, we take them for like a regular walk. A regular walk for us isn't really that far, but I mean, it's like considerable good walk. Mm-hmm. And the other two who, you know, one of them is extreme, you know, Fawn's 15, but she loves her walk. She's at that standing next to that leash at 7 o'clock every night and at 7 o'clock every morning. So, but we just take her, we call it a psychological walk. We just take her out up and down the street from one stop sign to another stop sign. She gets to sniff, she gets to do her thing. And then I have another one who we take out to, and she's really small, so she just gets to smell everything and she thinks everything's great. But both of them are, you know, it's a short walk, but as you said, psychologically and mentally, it stimulates them and they're, you know, still in the game.
Yeah, it actually can make a little bit, can make a big difference.
Absolutely.
And then certainly there are, last but not least, there are what we call gentle accommodations. And those are things like extra blankets, you know, soft bedding, you know, things that make it a little more comfortable, maybe cozier, keep them warm. They may be a little bit cooler or chillier when they're getting older. Again, as they're losing that muscle mass, it could be a ramp to get on the bed or to get in the car or on the sofa. You know, some of those things, especially even small dogs, right? They have a really
tough time. Yep. Mm-hmm.
They have a really tough time being able to do that. Or there's lift carriers, like little canvas kind of carriers that you can put under your dog, especially if you have a larger dog, right, to be able to get them in the car.
Yep.
So are there things that you do for the girls to kind of help keep them comfy and cozy?
Well, I have, they're like little soft stairs that go up to the couches. Mm-hmm. We have two couches that they go on. And then I have a higher one that goes up on the bed, and that's for Daisy and Coco. Fawn stays. I have a big orthopedic bed in our bedroom for Fawn, in our living room for Fawn, and in our family room for Fawn. So Fawn has three big orthopedic beds. The other girls have, you know, their regular beds. We have little stairs that go up to the little ramps to go up to the couch for them. But also what I wanted to bring up, Kim, is sometimes Fawn's 15, which is going to be 15 in a month. She has like a, you know, a little bit of issues. So mm-hmm. what I found, actually I found them on Amazon, they're removable washable bed covers, and they have like a fuzzy top. So it goes right over the bed. She doesn't even know. She thinks it's that nice fuzzy Sherpa top.
Uh-huh.
And then it goes under it almost like a fitted sheet. And then, you know, when I need to take care of things, I just sort of, you know, spray it, you know, with a little cleanser, put it in the washer and wash it. So it's like, it's so much easier for me to do that. And I had to do it with Francesca. Francesca, we had Francesca till she was 18.
Wow.
So yeah, Francesca, I did the same thing with. I had the little, sheets almost with like little Sherpa on top of it. So they think that it's the same bed, only I could just change it. So there's just so much out there that you could do for them, whether it be an orthopedic bed, like you said, helping them to get into the car. When we had our Greyhounds, we had that canvas, it goes under, and we used, before they invented that, this is how long ago we've been doing Greyhounds, we had towels. We take a huge bath sheet mm-hmm. and help to get our Greyhound into the car. So there's so many things that people could do that you could just, they're getting older. They're like all of us. They're like humans. You know, things change, but the love and the care and the bond between you is always there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you can really help them not to get hurt, right? All that is really very preventative sometimes, right? That they're not jumping up on the sofa or not having to jump down off the sofa or the bed. So all those little things can really add up to, again, keeping them healthy and active as they mature.
Speaking of jumping off the bed, we have around our bed, it's like a gymnast, like, you know how there's that very thick foam mat. We have those around the bed. So if the girls, we try to take them down, but sometimes they'll like go, okay, no, we're getting up in the middle of the night, and they get down. But it's so thick. It's this immense thick. So if they jump down, there's very little impact. And because a lot of times they won't take the stairs.
Yeah.
And another thing I wanted to mention, Kim, is this is what I've found. This is very unique. And Coco did it with Francesca. She actually took care of her because Francesca lost her vision and her hearing, and she became her eyes and ears, and she's now doing it for Fawn because Fawn's lost her vision and she's almost totally deaf. So Coco has taken, even though Coco's 11, Fawn's 15, she takes and she kind of leads her. She's her little doggy helper. We find that Sassy, who's 6, she helps Daisy. Now, Daisy's a little more ambulatory than Fawn. Fawn's had quite a few surgeries since we've, you know, adopted her. But yeah, it's amazing how they help themselves too.
Yeah, they know. They know something's going on and that they, you know, they want to be there for their companion, you know,
Yes. So that's it does your heart. It does my heart good. John and I's heart. And we see that they really take care of them and they clean their ears and do all that. It's a very cute thing. Aww. The animal world is very interesting.
Yes, indeed.
Now, it's also, as we said, I thought this month, it's Senior Pet Adoption Month. So what are some of the reasons that senior pets make great pals?
Yeah, you know, I love this because, you know, they really do make excellent adoption choices. And so, you know, certainly they've, you know, they've kind of been there, done that, right, as mature dogs, that they're, you know, kind of past the crazy, energetic puppy phase, you know. So that really helps them kind of be more calm typically. A lot of times they're potty trained. You know, maybe they have to get potty trained in your house a little bit differently, but I mean, they should kind of know the
They just need to learn the routine. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And a lot of times they're just so happy to have a new home, you know, especially going into a shelter if they haven't been there before. They may feel very uncomfortable and, you know, not really sure what's going on because they've only been in a house for as long as they can remember. So so it's really, you know, a lot of times when they're in a house, they feel very, very comfortable and very, very calm about being there. They're also typically very trainable or already trained.
Yes. You know, a lot of them know their basic commands.
Yes. They have experience with people typically. They tend to pick up commands more quickly even than a young dog does. You know, that whole, like, you know, teaching old dog new tricks is true.
You certainly
can do that. So they're very trainable. And so that makes it real easy to be able to have them in the house. And they're often less demanding than a puppy. You know, if you think about it, they're not as active, right? They don't have to go out in the middle of the night typically. I mean, they may when they get older, but they typically don't have to go out all the time. They don't have to go on those long walks we were talking about earlier. So we don't have to do that. And they may not need constant attention. They might like a little bit of time to themselves sometimes. So a lot of times they can fit into your family really pretty seamlessly.
You know what I think too, Kim, and a lot of shelters and rescues have this in our area, but it's seniors adopting seniors because your shelter or rescue rep can help you. It's like a little matchmaking service and they'll find the dog or the cat or whatever, the bird that will fits into what your lifestyle is so that the pet will be comfortable. Because if you're, say, 75 years old and you're adopting a, you know, 3-year-old Springer Spaniel, obviously you're going to be out doing a lot of walks, a lot of walk around, you know, but if you're adopting one that's a senior, they are a little more adept at wanting to rest, running to nap. Their walks are more about sniffs than taking up, you know, how fast they want to go. So sometimes I believe that seniors adopting seniors is really, really great. And if you are a senior, you may want to talk to one of your local shelters or your local rescues to ask if they have a program like that, or is there a dog that they could recommend that would, you know, you would be able to bring home. And you may want to start by fostering. Foster the dog, because I'll tell you what, Kim, the three we got, one from a shelter and two from shelters, one from rescues, they are senior dogs who had a hard time adapting to living in the shelter. The shelter people are wonderful, but if you're used to having your own bed, having a quiet life, you know, maybe you were just with one person or two people, who knows what happened. But sometimes if you adopt a senior or foster, they have foster programs. You can even foster them and take them home for the weekend, take them home for the day. You can foster them for an unlimited amount of time because sometimes they're seniors and they may not be adoptable. So they may let you be like a forever type foster. And they provide the medical care. They pay for the medical care and the food. You get food. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that go hand in hand so that a senior adopting a senior or a senior fostering a senior, sometimes it's a perfect match.
Yeah, it sounds like a win-win. I mean, it's really a great way to be able to get some of that companionship. But maybe, you know, maybe you can't have someone, you know, a dog there all the time or pet there all the time. So it's a great way to be able to kind of still get some of that love and help them, you know, kind of be less stressed because they're not in the shelter kind of environment. So it gives them a break. And it also, you know, it also gives you the chance to give feedback, right, back to the shelter about what works for them and what doesn't work for them.
Yep.
So when they do get adopted, then, you know, that gives them kind of a little bit more information about what it's like to be able to live with them. I just think that's a great idea. And I think, you know, and I think, you know, if you are, you know, senior and you do want to have a dog, I think it's great to be able to think about a senior dog. I think that's a fantastic idea. And I think, you know, maybe you think, oh, I can't do that because I don't want to have that. But, you know, you can, because you can have one that's, like you said, less excited, you know, less energetic, but, you know, still very...
But loving.
Very vibrant.
Right? Yeah,
very,
yeah.
Very vibrant, very loving, still active. But
And they all have their own personalities. So as old as they are, they all have their little personalities. They have their little tricks they do when you give them their treat. I mean, a lot of the things that, I mean, I encounter them because I had no background on the ones that we adopted. And you find out, oh, this one knows how to sit for a treat. Oh, this one does a little dance for a treat. Oh, this one, you know, knows how to open the door, knows how to like, knows how to tap on the door when they have to go to the bathroom. So it's like so many of them come pre-trained or they have so much going on. If you're observant when you're going through this, you may get a dog that is like so easy. And because someone else laid the groundwork and for some reason they couldn't have him anymore. Maybe they were hospitalized. Maybe there was, you know, a tragedy. You don't know. But you can tell these dogs were loved.
Yes. And, you know, and so adopting a senior dog or fostering a senior dog, I mean, it really can be a very rewarding experience for both you and that lovely little
baby. Absolutely. Absolutely. So how about if we take a break right now, and when we return, Kim is going to share some helpful advice on celebrating the holidays safely with our pets. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Doggy Diva Diaries is proud to announce the Paw It Forward initiative in loving memory of Miss Olive. Each month, a portion of the proceeds from Miss Olive's trilogy of award-winning books will be donated to a selected animal welfare organization. The designated charity will be revealed at the end of each Doggy Diva Show episode. Miss Olive's legacy of kindness and love lives on in her books, which are about a lonely little rescue dog who spreads the message that it's not what you look like on the outside that matters. It's the love in your heart that counts. Her books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. Help Miss Olive paw it forward and visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. We are here with Kim Gablin, and she's going to share some valuable advice for celebrating the holidays with our pets. I mean, there's so much going on during the holidays, and, you know, we're going into Thanksgiving, and then we have all the holidays in December and Christmas, and then we go into New Year's. What are some things to keep in mind for a safe and happy holiday celebration with our pets?
Yeah, I can't believe it, Sue. We're at the holidays again.
No.
Where did the time go? Like, how does it go here so fast? I know. So, and there are some things to prepare, right? It's not a lot of huge things, but there are some things to kind of be mindful of to be able to have that safe and happy holiday, because it is kind of an exciting time both for us and for our furry family members. And so here's a couple of things to think about. I always say that there's three sets of holiday hazards to remember for a fun, fantastic furry holiday, and that is festive decorations, food, and feelings.
Yes. The three F's.
The three F's of the holidays or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, certainly when it comes to decorations, we have to think about, you know, no matter what you, how you celebrate, you know, there's the tree, obviously. And there can be a tree in your holiday celebrations. And so when you're thinking about the tree, we're thinking about the electric cords or, you know, being able to tape or tie them down to make sure that they're not kind of around for chewing or tripping, or shocks. And, you know, one of the things you can even do is to unplug the lights when you're gone.
Yes.
You know, so that kind of, you know, even if they do get into the lights or they're chewing on any cords, they don't get into any trouble if that happens. Certainly, you know, the ornaments, if you have ornaments around, then you want to maybe keep the breakable ones or edible looking yummy ones up a little bit higher. That includes any kind of those salt cookie, you know, those salt dough cookies.
Yes.
Not very good for pets. So you want to keep them out of reach of your furry friends, and keep those lights kind of out of reach. And certainly I would say absolutely not to tinsel.
Yes.
Do tinsel garland, you know, is a much safer alternative because tinsel can really get into their digestive system and cause a lot of problems. So you want to be able to stick with garland instead. And then with trees, if you do have a tree, if you have a fresh tree, those trees can leak sap, or the water that you have them in can also contain preservatives, and that can make your dog or cat sick. So you want to make sure that you're covering the water basin securely, you know, with some foil, with some, you know, saran wrap or something, to be able to kind of make sure that they can't get in there, or, you know, better yet, even, you know, go artificial. So that's another way to be able to kind of be careful around the tree. In terms of other decor, right, there's a lot of, you know, our holidays have candles in them. So we want to make sure that we're, you know, maybe using candles that are electric instead of maybe having burning candles. Or if you do have burning candles to celebrate, you want to make sure that they're kind of out of the way, out of harm's way for your dog to be able to get into, including that tail wagging. Like tail wagging can also knock over a candle, or they can get burned that way. So you want to make sure you're careful about that. Snow globes are also a danger. A lot of times that liquid inside of the snow globe can be toxic. And so, and obviously if the plastic or the glass breaks, that also can be very dangerous for your pets. So you want to kind of keep those away from your pets. And there's a lot of plants at the holidays. Plants like mistletoe and holly, lilies and poinsettias, they can all upset your dog's digestive tract. So you're going to want to keep them either out of the house or out of a place where they're getting into them, right? Because, you know, you have to be careful. Sometimes the flowers die or fall off. And so that could even, you know, just something as simple as that could get them sick. So you're going to want to be careful about that. And then, of course, you know, the gift wrap and the gifts under the tree. There's you know, a lot of ribbon around. Mm-hmm. And so you want to make sure you're not leaving them out so that they're, you know, kind of eating the ribbon or eating the bows off of the different gifts that you have. And, you know, and if you have any gifts that smell wonderful or are yummy to eat, like chocolate, especially, or food gifts, you know, that are under the tree, you want to make sure that they're out of the way of the dog getting to it. I know, Sue, when I wrap gifts for my dog, I would always make sure that no bows or ribbon on it. And I would make sure that, you know, he could usually smell it whenever it was around.
Yeah.
He would find it early and open it if he could. So sometimes I had to hide those until it was really time for the holiday opening. And so that would keep him safe and out of kind of harm's way.
Well, do you remember the story I told you, Kim, about now Miss Olive had three legs, she had no teeth, she had a hard time balancing herself, but we had these great treats and Olive was her nose, she could tell where they were, I could control everything in the household with these treats. And she, the night of Christmas Eve, we laid out all our presents because we know not to lay anything out before then. And we found Olive with her. We didn't even know she was running around, but there's no rugs around the tree so that it was hard for her to keep her grip. So she stayed away from it usually. Well, no, we put that bag down. Big mistake. Couldn't find Olive, but we found Olive with her head in the bag on top of her, three quarters of her body covered. And she was so happy. And we went, but that's, you don't think of those things. I mean, you're thinking, oh, good, you know, it's Christmas Eve. We have all our company coming over. You know, the dogs will stay away. And, you know, no matter what the dog's limitations are, they can find a way. But I also wanted to tell you something that I learned because, you know, Sassy's a puppy. She's a young dog. So we've had her for a few years. And we learned, you know, different things because I have mostly senior dogs who had some interest, but not really much interest in the tree. I have to build a faux presence fortress around our tree. So what I do is I go to our discount store and I buy a bunch of, they look like gift wrap boxes, all different sizes, small, medium, large. So what I do is I very artfully put them around the tree so they look like real. There's no ribbon on them. It just says decorative boxes. They're really very pretty. And but I don't use them for real things because I don't want to go in them. But it builds like a fortress around the tree. It looks like we have a whole bunch of presents under the tree, very beautifully wrapped. They're the boxes. But it's what I did to keep her away. And she's like, oh, this is too much trouble. I'm not even going to go back near that tree. So, but those are things that I do. And I mean, they were relatively inexpensive. I just went to one of our discount stores, bought a bunch of these boxes and built them around. And it works perfect.
Yeah, you know, sometimes we take boxes. Yours sounds much prettier than my idea, but sometimes we'll take boxes that maybe came from the stores that we ordered them from, came in the mail. And so we'll take those boxes and either wrap them or put them around.
Yes.
Put them around and just form a, you know, kind of like you said, a little barrier even to the tree and be able to kind of keep them away from the tree, right? Keep the dogs and the cats away from the tree, or at least the dog anyway. The cats are usually a little bit more agile to be able to get up in the tree. But certainly being able to build a little fortress, you know, can make it look pretty, but also, you know, kind of keeps it all safe. Because, you know, you want to make sure that you're not putting everything down that they might be able to get into. And so,
it
is so easy to just wrap it and put it there. You're like, oh gosh, I'm so happy. I'm wrapped. I'm under the tree and it's all good. But yeah, you definitely want to make sure that the things you put under there are the things that they will not want to get into.
And the tree will thank you for it.
Yes, absolutely. So, and there's so many decorations, obviously, but I think, you know, obviously I think the candles and the tree, I think, are two really important ones to remember, and those gifts that you're putting around, right? Or even leaving out after you've wrapped everything, you're making sure that you get everything picked up and cleaned right away.
Yes.
So that no one has any time to be able to get into some of that stuff that they shouldn't be in.
Yes, absolutely. Now, what about if you're going to your mom's or your friends and you're visiting family, what do you think we should do about our pets?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, travel prep, like getting ready for, you know, those kinds of events is really important as well. Like if you're visiting your family, you know, you're going to want to make sure that you're packing, like, you know, I call it a pet holiday kit with some food, any medications that they take. You know, maybe it's their bed because they'll, you know, feel more comfortable sleeping in their own bed. Your ID tags, you know, maybe you don't always have your ID tags on your dog. So you want to make sure that your dog is ID'd in case they should get nervous or run out a door. So you just want to make sure that you're bringing, you know, a couple toys with you that maybe they really like to have so that, you know, they kind of have some familiar things. And so that can be a big help. And, you know, there are things you can do also, you know, staying in. I know, Sue, that you've used both pet boarding before and also pet sitters. I know that I've used pet sitters too. What do you think we need to think about for those kinds of things?
Well, for pet boarding, and I'm very fortunate that my vet has a state-of-the-art boarding facility. But I have to, even though they know the staff, even though they know everybody, I recommend, and this is me, to do little day trips. You might want to drop the gang off just to, you know, just for a few hours and then come back because they don't really have concept of time. They have a concept of when you come and you go.
Sure.
And then they see you come to pick them up. So maybe do that once a week for a few weeks before the holidays when you're going to put them in a facility. Or what I like is to have a pet sitter. And what you may want to do is you don't go out that often. You don't go away that often. So you may need to get a pet sitter who is an overnight pet sitter and that they come to your house and you may just want to leave the dogs with the pet sitter, go shopping, come home in a few hours, see how they got along. Maybe the pet sitter is going to go, this isn't right for me. Or maybe she'll say, oh, I love your dogs and the dogs love her or him. So I think that trying things out instead of waiting for it to happen works.
I love that, being kind of gaining some familiarity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then I think also it gives the dogs a peace of mind because they feel like they know who this is. It's not just the newest thing the first time that you walk out the door and you're gone for, you know, 3 days,
yes,
a week or something. So I love that idea because I do feel like it would lower their stress level. Mm-hmm. I know certainly as a pet parent, it would lower my stress level.
Yes. And even when you're away for a couple of hours, you're going, oh my gosh, I wonder what they're doing. But in their mind, it's like, when is mommy and daddy coming to get me? You know, their concept is, when are they coming? coming back a narcissist. Oh my gosh, I hope they're okay. So it's, and then if you do the short little trips, you know, the day trip, drop them off at, let's say, 10 in the morning and pick them up at 2 in the afternoon. I'm just making that. And then when you pick them up, they see you, they're so excited. And then the next time you take them, they know you're going to be dropping them off. They may be a little hesitant, but they then they see you pick them up again, you know, in a few hours. And then the next week you do it again. And by then, I always find that when you do things in threes, mm-hmm. it kind of becomes a habit. Like, it's like, oh, okay, I get this.
Yeah, we've got this down. And no problem.
Yeah, right? No problem.
Yeah, no problem. It's all good.
It's all good.
Yeah, I love that idea. That's a great idea. You don't always think about that. So that's a great way to be able to kind of get that done now, you know, before the holidays are right mm-hmm. upon us, you know, if you can, before you go on a trip or do something else. That's a great idea.
Now, we're talking about all the celebration stuff. Can't wait for the holidays to start. We're sitting there talking about it. And of course, what I'm thinking about is food. So we have people coming over for the holidays so that we'll be, you know, there'll be festivities going on. We'll have people here eating with us. And though we put the dogs in another room, you know, everyone wants to see the doggies. So how should pet parents celebrate the holidays by sharing food from the table? What is this something you recommend, or do you think that it's something that maybe we could do something alternatively?
Yeah, you know, I think that it's one thing to share, but I think it's also important to realize that sometimes you unintentionally, or someone that's maybe a guest that's visiting, may unintentionally share something that you don't mean to, right? And it's a holiday time. It's a fun time. You all want to be together. It's the last thing you want to do is to be able to have to run out to the emergency vet because something happened. So
not a fun holiday at the emergency vet, having spent some there. Yes.
Yes. And me too. So
yeah,
you're not alone.
'Tis the season.
Yes. And so I think it's really important, you know, to think about your pets at this time and to not share, really, if you can, any the table. And you know, just more specifically, and I know we probably go over this a lot, so people have probably heard some of these before, but things not to share would be alcohol and anything that has grapes or raisins in it. So that's definitely an issue, especially with wine and grapes and raisins. Candy or gum or peanut butter with xylitol, that's becoming a lot more familiar mm-hmm. And a lot more used in like things that are sugar-free typically. So you want to avoid anything with xylitol. Chocolate, as we've talked about, coffee and caffeine. Onions and garlic. So onions are bad for dogs because it gives them Heinz body anemia, which is something that they have too many onions. So as you're cutting up onions or prepping your food, you want to make sure you're not dropping any on the floor. I'm a terrible cook maybe because I'm dropping them on the floor on a regular basis. So I have to be very careful about the onions, especially. Avocados and macadamia nuts are also not good. And even things you're thinking, oh, well, I want to give them some turkey and some gravy and that kind of thing. Even some of those fatty, buttery, heavily seasoned foods like turkey skin or mashed potatoes or sweet potato casserole, those can also really kind of cause some digestive upset mm-hmm. Because of that extra fat and sugar or spice that's in there that maybe they're not used to. So, you know, again, you don't want to cause them to not be feeling well or have some accidents in the house because of some of the challenges. And then, you know, the girls maybe can't get into the garbage, but even as little as Blizz was, he could still get into the garbage sometimes.
We have it locked away. Because I have had curious doggies before, so we lock ours. Ours is like locked.
Yes. I saw that boy get in and get a chicken leg one time. So it's really, you know, so he and I had it out. But I think it's really important, you know, it's really important to also watch the trash and mm-hmm. making sure it's not overflowing and that it's also kind of contained. You know, if you're looking for some better options, because I don't want you to not have any fun. I don't want your pets to not have any fun at the holidays, right? We want them to have some fun and do some special things too. So one of my favorite things is being able to put out a pet approved snack bowl.
I love that.
Yeah. And so put out this little snack bowl with, you know, maybe as many treats as you want them to have that day, because you don't want to put out too many. You know, again, don't want to make them sick, but at least you can give them some, you know, put out a little sign by that says, you know, please don't share people food with, you know, with Sassy or Fallen, but, you know, help her stay jolly with one of these instead.
I love it.
So I think that's kind of fun. It's a fun way for your guests to be able to feel like they can also give the dog something fun too. So having a little pre-snack bowl is fun. You could also, you know, there's all kinds of food out there, all kinds of canned food, you know, wet food that's out there. There's all kinds of, you know, even different kinds of dry food that if you wanted to maybe switch it up a little bit or treat them to a special dinner topper, you know, if you're just putting a little bit on top, that's a great way to do it because then there's a less chance of like that digestive upset we were talking about. just a little bit of a topper, or use some canned food that's out there or some fresh pet food. And I think that that'll help it like kind of feel festive without, you know, kind of having the same tummy troubles that you might have if there's too much of it. And then, of course, it's always important to keep that veterinarian emergency vet number nearby in case something does happen. You can give them a call. And I, you know, I'm a big proponent of putting it in under ICE. I put it under ICE in case of emergency, ICE vet. You can put them on there. I know who my vet is, so I can, you know, I have them in my phone already, but you may not have your one or two nearest emergency vets in your phone.
And on that note, and I talked about this a few years ago with Olive, when I lost Olive, I had gone to the same emergency clinic. Well, I had my vet. It was, of course, at like 4 o'clock on a Saturday, so they were closed. And my vet, this was towards the end of COVID, the clinic that I used that was in my phone, they were not open until 8 at night. So I called other, you know, I had to like Google search, okay, I never had to think about it before. You know, I went to the same one for years, of course, I go to the same vet and I went to the same emergency vet who worked with my vet. They all knew each other. So I had to find someone. I found someone who had no idea who I was, who didn't know anything about Olive. It was a very stressful situation. And what I learned from there is always, if your emergency hospital is check to make sure their hours, check to make sure their availability. I know that things are much more available now. We're out of that time, but you still don't know. I had one also, a specialist that I was using, who moved his office. He's in a totally other city now. So there may be things that you may want to just keep your information updated, your emergency information, because when it's happening, you do not want to have to think about it. You just want to like go.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to be able to kind of have those numbers nearby, or maybe that you've done at least a little bit of looking to say, oh, well, how are they rated? You know, what have I heard about them? Who does my vet recommend? So being able to just at least have them right there. You know, it used to be that on my refrigerator, I used to be able to have, you know, maybe a little magnet or whatever, but my refrigerator doesn't take magnets anymore. So it's great to have it in your phone. This way, whenever you're out and about and something should happen, you also have it with you. So my phone is almost always with me. So it's a great place to be able to put it.
Now, what about a special dinner? Like if you want to, you know, you want to treat them, let's just say you're just home. It's you and your pet, you and your family and your pet, and you want to like, you don't have to worry about other people being around and you want to give them a little special dinner. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think that as long as, again, using more of a topper kind of a feeling would be a better idea, you know, because then it's a little bit of food. It's not the whole entire meal. So maybe you're serving your dry food with a little bit of extra on the side. And so that, you know, that kind of canned food or, you know, a fresh food that you've gotten, like a refrigerated food or a fresh dog food, might really be kind of a nice way to kind of add a little something special to the meal. But again, you know, you don't want to overdo it. And, you know, even though I know we like to eat until we're just stuffed, literally,
I know.
At the holidays.
That's why God invented elastic pants.
Yeah. And I know Blizzard would eat everything until he could get sick. So
you have
to really, you know, you have to look at that food, you know, measure it out and, you know, and do something special. I think it is nice to do something special. I always felt like that was a nice thing to do. So, you know, you could get them a turkey variety or you could get them a beef variety, maybe something that they don't always have every day. And so that's a really kind of a fun thing to do. I think, and a fun way to be special without, you know, risking, you know, a lot of challenges or issues with having kind of that special meal.
Absolutely. And last but not least on our list, you brought up the three F's when we started this whole discussion, festive decorations, food, and the third one's feelings. What do we need to be thinking about as far as feelings?
Yeah, you know, it's such a busy time at the holidays for all of us. And, you know, sometimes our pets can get a little overwhelmed just like we do. You know, there's people in and out, there's changes in routine, there's loud gatherings, there's people they may not have met before that they may not feel comfortable about, or people who might not feel comfortable around them. So there's a lot to think about when it comes to like feelings, right? That can make your pet feel kind of very anxious and left out. So, you know, in order to keep their spirits bright, there's a few things to think about. Trying to keep your routine as, you know, as much as you can. Obviously, we can't keep it exactly the same. But, you know, if you do, tend to take a walk or have some playtime or sitting down, you know, having some time on the sofa, at least have some of that going on, right? So that there's some semblance of that happening at least every few days. And then, you know, if your dog is anxious, you know, if you know your dog and you know they're anxious, create a calm space for them, you know, where their bed and their toys can be. Maybe you can even put on some calming music in the background that they might enjoy that, you know, again, might hide some of the noise or some of the loudness going on in the rest of the house that may help them, you know, be a little bit more comfortable and a little less anxious. If you have friends and family that are coming over that have never met your dog before, you want to make sure that you give everybody a little bit of time to get to know each other, right? You don't want to just say, oh, well, you know, come on in and then ignore the dog or the dogs. So introduce them, give them both some time to see. If you do have someone who is nervous, a person who's nervous, right? That happens. Some people have a tough time with dogs or don't feel comfortable because maybe they haven't been around dogs, or maybe they're used to small dogs and now you have a big dog. You might want to just make sure that then you keep the dog, you know, in a way and in that kind of calm space so that that's not as much of a problem for them. And, you know, making sure that they feel loved and reassured, right? You know, after you've been running around or after you've been cooking for a while, you know, sit down, take 10 minutes for them, brush them. You know, maybe you're playing a little bit of catch or something, you know, something like that might at least, again, make sure that they're feeling connected to you and that you're not unavailable to them, right? That you're around. And, you know, I love the suggestions you had about the traveling and being able to take them in for some test runs for boarding or with a pet sitter. That's a great way to, again, make them feel more comfortable, more confident in what the routine feels like, and not to feel like, you know, they've kind of left out or left behind.
Yes.
And, you know, and of course, I always love at the end of the day, it's just nice to sit down and cuddle for a few minutes. If your dog is a cuddler, then, you know, that's a great time for you to get a little bit of refreshed, a little bit of warmth, a little bit of love, and, you know, just that nice scratching that you might give them. And that really certainly makes them feel comfortable, right? That you're feeling better, that you're relaxing for a few minutes, and that will probably make them less anxious too. So being able to manage those feelings, it's not really hard, but I think it's just at least being aware of it as you're kind of running through the holidays to see kind of how they're doing and kind of checking in with them and seeing how they're feeling. And I think that that's all you really need to do to make sure that they make it through the holidays without feeling too left out.
And that's such great advice. And you know, Kim, during the holidays, we tend to be doing hectic things. Our schedules change. Everything mm-hmm. changes. So we're also, you know, a little anxious or maybe nervous. So it actually helps, like you said, to end the day with love. End your day with love, sitting on the couch, sitting in a chair, being on the floor with your fur kids. And it really helps to calm not only them, but it helps to calm you. I always say a snuggle goes a long way.
Yes, especially at the holidays.
Yes. So I'm hoping that all this information helped everybody. I mean, it was really, these are great things that you shared. And I also I'd like to make an announcement. The Doggy Diva Show, we're really, really proud to be announcing this. This is a new program. It's called the Paw It Forward Program, and it is in loving memory of Miss Olive. And each month, we are recognizing a possum animal organization. And Kim, I want to let you know that our first organization we're recognizing is the Exceptional Four Paws for Ability. And I know this is an organization that is very near and dear to your heart. Could you tell the listeners a little bit about them?
Yes, you know, they really are a fantastic organization. And thank you, Sue. I'm very honored that this gets to be your first donation. And congratulations. This is a great opportunity to be able to help some other organizations be known and be supported by people who care about pets. So thank you. Four Paws for Ability, they basically specialize in training and placing task-trained dogs as like service dogs, facility dogs, and hearing ear dogs. And they're really specifically focused on children and veterans. So I love this program. You know, they're really trying to provide that life-changing care for them with a task dog. And that dog is specifically trained for whatever task that particular child or veteran needs. So I love this kind of, this is, you know, the kids' books, and Olive's books, Miss Olive's books. I love this, that this is kind of the connection that of what they do, right? And they're helping kids. And, you know, I think that whole kids and pets really comes full circle when they're being able to have a service animal that can actually help them, but also their pet that can give them love and attention as well. So I think that they're really a neat organization. You can find them out at four, the number four, the number four, paws4, for ability.org. So they're really a great organization. They're just outside of the Dayton area. And so you may not have heard of them before, but they're doing really some fantastic work. And I think, you know, being able to think about the holidays and donating to organizations, now is a great time to be able to think about some of those other organizations that are out there.
Yes. And thank you so much for bringing this to our attention or sharing this with me. And I want to thank you so much for sharing the amazing organization. And I just want everyone to know that each month, a portion of the proceeds from Miss Olive's trilogy of award-winning books, The Doggy Diva Diaries, will be donated to a selected animal welfare organization. And Kim, we are so honored that Four Paws for Ability is the first recipient of our Paw It Forward program. So I want to thank you so very much. And I also want to thank you for being our guest and for sharing such valuable and helpful information for pet parents looking to celebrate the holidays safely with their pets, and for sharing why senior pets make such great additions to our families. So, Kim, I want to wish you and your family the happiest of holidays, and thank you again for sharing such wonderful information with us and such a wonderful organization.
Thank you, Sue. Happy holidays.
Thank you, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at The Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.